I'm coming in really hot. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Got about negative 18. That's the sweet, that's the G-spot for
like you would
your
know.
Voice. Yeah. Well, I mean, I do when it comes to voices. Not pussies,
not
though.
Pussies.
Don't know what that's about. It's a myth. Made up.
Not just a G-spot is a myth, it's just like vaginas are a myth.
Yeah, it's just females be lying.
Yeah, they're just smooth. Like, you're supposed to do it in the belly button. Like, have you ever seen the TI vehicle ATL? When they make fun of his brother for fucking the girl in her belly button, that's actually the NWO lying to you, being like, oh, there's a thing actually between their legs. No, there's not. I've seen it. I've gone there. There's nothing there. It's a bunch of skin. A whole mound.
Ew, the word mound is so gross.
Okay. All right, gang. It's Chapo coming to you from a gray and miserable day here in the New York City. Get cozy. Hope you're warm. It's Christmas season, but it's pissing rain down. I mean, that's the thing about New York, folks. It's the weather. If you can deal with the weather here, you can deal with weather anywhere.
It's got the most weather of any city in the country.
Absolutely. All right, to kick things off today, if you've been following us recently, you'll know that we're on we're riding the beam of a certain vibration that is very much tuned into movie magic, and our hopes that that cinema and the joy of movies can revitalize some of our hope for the future. And to that end, I'm wondering if you guys have seen the new Dan Crenshaw trailer, because it just dropped yesterday, and I think we need to do a Dan Crenshaw trailer reaction video for you guys, because this fire needs to be shared.
I'll be coming in cold, so this will be fun for me.
I've seen every Dan Crenshaw trailer, and Dan Crenshaw is the fucking worst American, because he's a synthesis of the two dominant strains of American culture, which is like Joss Whedon soy superhero bullshit, and then like Islamophobic coffee companies for guys who like drove into a TNT laden ditch in Afghanistan. Like the two things you can be in America if you're a man under 35 are that, and he didn't choose. He's both things. And they both fucking suck.
Yeah, he is both he is the El Paso kit with the hard and soft tacos of being the awful meme politician.
Yeah, it's like you gun down a preschool full of Afghani children, and you're like, so that just happened.
But you guys, the eye patch is so cool.
Yeah, he's looks awesome.
He looks like snake foreskin with that fucking on the Avengers episode, Chris told us after we stopped recording, but I'd totally forgotten the fact that he has a Captain American glass eye that he pops in from now on occasion. And it's like he is like the Avengers if they fought 13-year-olds wearing milk cartons for shoes instead of Thanos.
Yeah, and lost to them also.
Yeah, and then and got washed badly.
Also, just got completely destroyed.
How do you like make missing an eye lame? I resent that my aid to my disability is a hearing aid. It will never look cool. I will never look cool in a hearing aid. I would trade it in a heartbeat for an eye patch because I would look so cool. And he's just wasting it on nerd shit.
Amber, you say that because you have not transitioned to an ear horn, which is the coolest.
The Victorian.
The coolest. Yeah. It's a nice tin air horn you put up next to your ear and then lean towards
someone. You're right. I got to accessorize better.
Yeah.
You should go for like Daryl Hannah and Kill Bill. That's the look.
Yeah, it's
that's
so hot. There. Yeah.
All right. So like, let's do this the official Chapo Trap House trailer reaction video to the new Dan Crenshaw trailer. I understand this is an audio form, but we will do our best to narrate for you this new trailer, which should be coming out, summer 2021. Georgia Reloaded. The epic saga continues, this time in Georgia. Everything is on the line. All right, drop that trailer.
The American story is one of true exceptionalism.
All right, here's...
It's built on the greatest ideas in history. This victory tonight, it's about you. It's about defining those.
Okay, Dan's being told something.
Sorry,
his press
conference. I'll be right back.
He's been given a mission by Nick Fury.
It's very serious.
What do we got?
Well, it's not
taking
over
off the tie.
The Senate races went to a runoff.
It's Paul Hollywood from British Bake Off.
You'll never believe this.
Far-left activists are attempting to gain full and total control of the U.S. government.
Okay, this is Cortana talking to him right now.
A Democratic Senate majority.
She's like, AOC has taken control of the covenant.
In that way.
Should these Senate seats be lost, all will be lost.
You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for all.
Okay, that's great.
Your mission will be to rally support across Georgia behind these American patriots. Senator Perdue and Senator Loeffler.
Yeah, American patriots, 100%.
Must win.
You see, they have Kelly Loeffler shooting a shotgun and looking like disgusted.
He's wearing a black T-shirt under a black long sleeve tee under his Oxford.
Last question.
Yeah,
that's Marcus Luttrell, by the way. He's talking to. That's the lone survivor.
Okay, now he's in an airplane.
He's talking to.
Now he's jumping out of an airplane.
He's got
really actually jumping out of an airplane. Like
oh my
someone's
God.
Filming him. Yeah. The production values on this are incredible.
Well, I mean, legally he can't fly it on account of the, you know.
Control. Yeah. What's the situation at the LZ?
Good evening, sir. Rather lovely form, if I may say so. But we do have small.
Yo, you're so good at falling.
Wait, what's that?
Oh
shit.
An ironic it's Antifa.
They're hanging out
in an open field
yard.
At this point in the trailer, Dan Crenshaw is airdropping into an empty field that Antifa is controlling.
Yeah, he's literally parachuting into a paintball course.
90 degrees from your current heading. Be well, sir.
Why is she British?
Man, where is this guy?
Sexy robot ladies are always British.
Oh, soy dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Pulling the cord.
Where is that pirate?
I don't even know why I'm so angry, you know?
Oh, the news told us to be.
Oh, shit. Oh, he's just dropped directly on top of the Antifa car. Punching through the windshield.
I don't know. I mean, they were just hanging out in the car. Well,
yeah.
It's like kind of a wild escalation there.
Yeah, they were just sitting in a car, and Dan Crenshaw punched through the window shield, and then in the end, it's like, vote for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue.
Yeah, those guys who literally just let people die while they built fucking Cheesecake Factory mansions, they're your friends.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, my first thought was like, radical leftists all taking over whatever. The things they showed were like press conferences and AOC. You could have very well shown protest footage that looks menacing out of context.
Yeah.
You'd think, yeah.
And he just left that on the ground.
Yeah, they just showed a clip of like Chuck Schumer being like, as a New Yorker, I'm a black woman. I've been on both sides of Me Too.
We have footage of people like pulling down monuments.
That's Cuomo.
And, you know.
Oh yeah, that's Cuomo. I'm a survivor of both sides of Me Too.
I mean, the hottest part of that trailer is, you know, it's like at a time when, as we've talked about before, like it's never been clear that spending money on political advertising does nothing. The budgets for these are just getting bigger and bigger. And he really did actually jump out of an airplane, and someone filmed him like skydiving. And then he's like, I'm going into the LZ hot. And the LZ is just like five guys in black hoodies wandering around a field.
Right.
And then he like lands on the hood of their car and punches through the windshield to stop the Antifa from doing what exactly? I don't know.
They were gonna make a scary crop circle.
Yeah, they were gonna work the Crass logo into a field of soybeans.
Yeah, they were making a soybean field sized issue of Adbusters, and no one could have seen that. So Dan Crenshaw is like, he's probably the Antichrist, because it's like, most guys like him, they only watch movie like the Bruce Willis movie that Mancow was in. And, like, you know, instead watch, like, Range 15 movies. And, like, they all have a coffee company where it's like, oh, we grinded up pieces of the Quran and we put them in the coffee grounds. It tastes terrible. But Muslims, they know about it and they hate it. And this isn't just, like, a scheme where me and my brother-in-law are both going to testify against each other for embezzling. Or, you know, they're just a Wojak. Who like sees you know, Chris Pratt playing a switch, and it's like, ah. And again, he's both like these. He is the worst cultural force in America. Like, he had an epic moment on Saturday Night Live. He's hopefully all Americans can unite to deport him to Afghanistan, where he belongs.
Yeah,
that is the one thing that is kind of heartening about Crenshaw, is that he does not seem to, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but he does not seem to have like any real constituency, even on the right. Like, nobody really likes him because he is that attempt to
he's a tryhard.
He's a meme.
He's trying to synthesize everything. He's like such a self-conscious attempt to be the meme soy reactionary that hopefully. That I mean, I imagine even like awful groepers hate him too.
Yeah, well, no, he's a meme that no one asked for. It's you like this thing and also this thing. What if I combined them? And it's like, that's terrible.
And like, you know, he wants to be like the Republican AOC in the sense that he wants to get like sort of media hits and credit for being like kind of young and cool. But like the Republican AOC already exists, and it's like fucking it's the Giuliani legal team. It's Melissa Caron. That's the Republican AOC. She's got the juice.
She's got the juice.
That's what people want. But what I like about Crenshaw and like people like him, as you were saying, is that, yeah, it doesn't land because the very thing that he's trying to sort of make fun of or fight against, which is this kind of, you know, soy, snowflake, you know, liberal cancel culture bullshit, even in his attempts to like fight that in cinematic Avenger style, he can't help but recreate the exact thing that he is like the soy levels in that fucking video are like reactor 4, like Chernobyl. It's like looking into fucking reactor 4. Just
well, he had his
like,
he had his
open.
Contact compliment him on his fall. Like, bitches love the way I fall.
Form.
I fall better than anybody. Like, that's, there's no way to, you're falling. It's a free fall. Also, really, I mean, if these people are allegedly armed, you're kind of a, that's like Duck Hunt. He's just in the air there. Like, they can just pick him up, you know?
Well, I think if you don't fall correctly, you can start going like, you know, over head over feet and like sort of tumbling, which is bad. I think you're supposed to sort of, you know, control the fall.
But, I don't know. But, yeah, I feel like I could fall. I feel like I could figure it out. I feel like I could fall better than Dan Crenshaw.
It's the way you're supposed to do it is you're supposed to like just get into a fetal position and roll all around and go, oh God, oh God, don't they know I'm afraid of heights? Oh God, I'm allergic to some of this stuff up here. That's how you're supposed to do it.
It's just the Antifa stuff in that video is so funny because, like, the audio doesn't really do it justice because it is just five guys in a field walking around. And Amber, like you said, like there's not a dearth of footage of people fighting in like the downtown areas of like major metropolitan areas. These are just four guys who are like, you know, they look like guys who have like gone into the woods to like find the like a fabled copy of Hustler magazine.
They're hotboxing in a car, full tempo. It's really harmless looking.
Well, there we go. Dan Crenshaw's Avengers trailer reaction and video. All right. Well, here's some. Here's some more videos for you. I know recently we had just discussed Ryan Graham had written an article based on leaked audio of a recent meeting that Biden and Harris had with various civil rights activists at which he, you know, appeared to tell them to shut the fuck up and fall in line. And wouldn't you know, now there's even more audio and video of this Zoom call. And there's a couple really good Biden cuts here. So let's roll the first one.
You've never seen me shy away. In the middle of the debate, I called him a racist. In the middle of the debate with him, I took on white supremacists. I'm the guy that took on every single time somebody was threatened in this country. The only white boy you know who did it, period, out there, every single time. So look, all I'm saying here is, guys,
I'm the craziest white boy in office. I thought you were joking. I thought you were paraphrasing.
No, nope. he said that. President Dan Quinn, baby. It's going to happen.
That's literally Dan Quinn has said that he's the only white boy to stand up to racism.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is awesome.
Well, I mean,
he's not saying this off the cuff. He's saying this to the head of the NAACP.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's been looking into stevia-based treatments for dementia lately. So
I want to ask you something, man. When have you ever seen a white boy dance like this, okay? Like, he's... That's awesome. And that meeting probably didn't even start contentiously. The guy was like... Like, every guy who's part of, like, a big organization that, like, falls in line behind the Democratic Party, they're like, oh, my God, President-elect Biden, it's great to meet you. Congratulations. There are a few things I want to talk about. And Joe Biden probably just took off his shirt and was like, you ever seen a white boy that looks like this? I'm a weed-smoking pig, man.
Also, just tonally, he's doing that old man thing that my grandpa does where he immediately adopts a defensive posture. And it's I didn't accuse you of anything. I just said, hey, how are you doing? It's good to see you. And you're like, look, the thing about me is, and it's like, wait, whoa, where did this come from?
Mr. President-elect, I just have a question here on some of your cabinet appointments. Do you mind if I... No. Speak on it, Chetchihuahua.
Knock on the door. I'm busy. Continues talking into the camera, addressed to Corn Pop, telling him to get on Stevia to melt down. It's like, random hostility thing, I'm thinking about when Biden, I think it was the end of the second debate, where it was like one of his worst debate performances ever. One of the worst ones I've ever seen. And he's like doing the usual Biden thing at the end where he's like, and you know, man, just John McCain, I want to give a shout out to John McCain. He gave me, told me, man, you got to be the pallbearer at my funeral. He said, you're a never guy, I'm a never guy, try to be. And that's what it's all about. Instead of this vague bullshit, like just start screaming at the end because he's like, he couldn't go, I yield my time, man, at the end, like he was usually doing, because he was like, mad that he couldn't get out of the sentence.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like forcing open an elevator door with your arm.
Yeah. He was angry at language.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we roll that next clip of Biden from the same meeting?
Because the success of this administration will be the ability of the city.
This is Derek Johnson.
Confirm your nominee
speaking right now.
We have an opportunity here. We want to make sure we seize upon this opportunity and allowing for the input necessary. 10 more appointments to go. A lot of people in our community are getting a little anxious because they are not seeing enough of the progress they thought they would have seen at this point. Let's not disappoint them and let's not get to a place where voters in Georgia begin to second guess.
Okay, let me respond. I've got to go. Let me respond. There's a lot to respond to here. Let's get something straight. You shouldn't be disappointed. What I've done so far is more than anybody else has done this far. Okay? Number one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's owning.
What I've done this far is more than anybody has done to this point.
What do you even say to that? Like, yeah, I guess. Okay.
So I remember
this guy's president and not Donald Trump. They're so different after all.
Yeah, well, and like, the NAACP has kind of been like pretty neutered for a long time now. Like they're lobbing, you know, like hard balls at them.
No, it's literally like, what are they demanding? Freaking out.
They're like, well, let's all work together and not let these people down. And he's like, okay, first of all, I feel really attacked right now. And it's like, I don't
really. Yeah. The NAACP guy is literally like just doing like NGO speak. He's just like, it's a great time for all of our opportunities to come together and create an era. And Biden's like, I have never criticized you and you are fucking stabbing me in the back right now. Yeah. You piece of shit.
I have always been your biggest supporter.
I'm used to tell people you are the realest guy I ever met. And now you're betraying me, the craziest white boy who's ever lived.
Listen. I gotta respond to that. Let me tell you something. I'm taking off these glasses. I've seen too much, man. Put me in a wheelchair because I can't stand y'all.
Yeah, listen, Joe Biden thinks he's giving them the dozens.
Yeah.
When we talked about that Ryan Grimm piece, I remember like there was a lot of reaction to it from people defending Biden who were saying, How did this audio get leaked? And like, you know, a president should be able to talk to people in private without fear of like the audio becoming public. And then he just said, there was another person who I remember reading them say, listen, you know, I was on the line in that meeting and like, you know, yeah, Biden was passionate, but it's not the way it's being characterized here. Passionate? He's fucking pissed off at these. He's fucking telling them to kiss his ass straight up.
He is furious at being questioned.
And they're not questioning him.
No, they're not. Like, he like wants the NAACP to give him the award for best white boy dancer.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, he's already mad at them for not doing that.
Okay, I think there's one more clip. I think there's one more clip of Biden.
It ain't worth the job if I can't say what I believe. I didn't want to run this time. I ran this time because of the racist son of a gun who was president of the United States of America. That's why I ran.
I'm not even supposed to be here, man. It's my day off. I guess everyone would be happier if I just killed myself. You want me to start smoking? Everyone wants me to start smoking. I guess I might as well start. Okay, man?
This is but like Derek Johnson is not, I mean, like, I just can't get over how, like, Derek Johnson gave the Image Award to Rihanna. This is not Harry Belafonte. Like, it's it's pretty chill and liberal. And
no, I think it's because, like, the point about all this, and like, you know, we mentioned this when we brought up the article itself, which is just like, for all those people like on the call with Joe Biden, like, can any of them really say that like Joe Biden lied to them about who he was? I mean, like, I'm saying, like, Joe Biden is right to tell these people to kiss his ass, and like, what were they expecting in the first place?
Yeah,
they all knew who he was. They all went all in on supporting him, and forget supporting Bernie, but like and literally any other candidate. They all fell in line because Biden was the Democratic guy. Like, he was the pick. It was always going to be him. And they were like, okay, well, we better get on board for this. And then now it's just like they think that they can be like, oh, please give us, like, just could you please appoint a black person to Department of Transportation? And he's like, no, man. I gotta go.
All the brothers at the barbecue shop I go to. Listen, man, they don't care if a brother's at the Department of Misassociation. They want, you know. Listen, man. Listen, I was the first white boy to buy a jug of molasses. Okay. You try to tell me who the fuck I am? Listen, before I tell you to tell me who you are, you got to think about what you are. We can do jumping jacks right now. Take your shirt off. Let's compare. Yeah, I've got an innie, you got an outie.
I was trying to remember the last time I read something about Derek Johnson, because I was like, there was something really funny and dorky he did, and it's right here on Wikipedia, if you guys are interested. On June 1st, 2020, President Johnson joined Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. In the interview, Fallon apologized for wearing blackface in an old SNL sketch that had resurfaced.
Oh, this guy's hardcore.
Jimmy Fallon expressed, "The silence is the biggest crime that white guys like me and the rest of us are doing, staying silent. We need to say something. We need to keep saying something. And we need to say that's not okay more than one day on Twitter. You need to retire, Jimmy." In response to the apology, Derek Johnson noted, "That was powerful. But most importantly, that's about courage. In this time of many people searching for answers and the display of anger and hopelessness and wondering, more people need to speak about where they are with a really authentic voice. And I think you did that with the opening monologue."
This guy is basically Eldridge Cleaver.
Yeah.
This guy is the most insane extremist. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So they both come into this conversation, Johnson and Biden, like, unable to speak the truth that they both know or have forgotten in Biden's case, which is that there is no more pressure that can be placed on Biden from anything, anyone within the movement, the NAACP or any other organization. They can't make him do anything he doesn't want to do. What Johnson wanted from him was just give me a little pro forma, like, ritualized.
Give me something to take back to my people.
Yeah. Give me something I can take back to my people.
Yeah.
And Biden, but what Biden wanted was fucking
kiss the ring.
He wanted his ring kissed. He wanted gratitude. He wanted him to validate him as president. And in public, like, neither one of them could do that. And so Biden just got fucking pissed because he wasn't giving him what he thought he was due. And that is very instructive that all of the stuff he points to that like show him to be the white boy of the century who's going to save black people boils down to, I said this, I said that, I said the thing about Charlottesville. What more do you people want? Which is, this was like Trump, and that's very much like Trump, and that because his brain is decaying, he is saying the loud. He's saying the thing that you're supposed to be subtext, which is that's all I was ever going to do was say some shit.
Yeah, I do wonder how many times he did say "you people."
Seriously.
Yeah, and like it's things he said, and then like running for president and winning.
Yeah, well, it's I won. What more do you want from me?
Amber, there is another clip. I mean, I can't find it, but one of the things that he said, like most vociferously there, he was like, I'm the guy that did it. Okay? I got it done. All right? Like, you know, so he's like, I won. Like, that was me, you know, defeating white supremacy or whatever. Or what else did he say? Like, I'm the guy who stood up for everybody all the time. Everywhere.
but that's the thing. It's like people who like are more on like the left liberal side of media are going to be like, the same people who unconditionally supported Biden and said you were racist if you didn't vote are going to be like, oh, this is bad. We need to hold Biden accountable. Even though, you know, as Matt said, there's like literally no mechanism. But this is also what Obama was like.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what they're like. This is what they're all like. They all think we should thank them for the fact that they ran for president or ran for Congress or did whatever and won. Or it didn't win. They raised awareness of a seat, maybe. Like, this is exactly how much of a fucking prick Obama was to activists he met with.
Yeah. But he wasn't angry when he did it.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
He wasn't as funny as this. Yeah. Biden is,
he wasn't as
this
cool.
This is so funny. This is, I mean, I am really excited for these 4 years because I feel like there's going to be this incredible tension and contradiction between, like, the liberal media and then the actual president.
Yes.
That's going to be hilarious. Like, there's going to be, like, they're still going to try to do the woke thing where there'll be articles. It's like, you know, how to hold somebody accountable for not voting for John Ossoff or whatever. But then the president is going to be like, it's all right to be in the Klan. You could be in the Klan and be a patriot.
Do you know, by the way,
just because someone sings jazz doesn't mean they're a bad person. A lot of bad people sing jazz.
Listen,
a lot of good people sing blues, okay?
Listen, I think that Jimmy Fallon kid's all right, and Chris Rock's funny too, and he can do an impression of him. It's more realistic, Jimmy, Jack, with the makeup.
Listen, this country's all about taking who you are and being who you're supposed to be. Jimmy Fallon started out his career as a black fella. He's no longer one of those, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have the same attitude towards what they should be doing towards him. That's what it's all about.
I think Felix hit the nail on the head when a while back he said, I was worried, you know, because it wasn't going to be as funny because, you know, Trump is such a relentless kind of comedy. But the thing about Biden is that he's a sleeper. And every once in a while, we're not going to be so desensitized by it.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, he's going to do something so stupid and insane and angry, defensive old man. And it's so goddamn funny.
Yeah, we're going to see him, like, once a month, if that.
Yeah.
Because, like, the rest of the time, he's going to be in, like, the carbonite they froze Han Solo in. Yeah. But, like, when we do see him, it's going to be a laugh riot every time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be so... Like,
I keep in mind, we're only seeing this because someone leaked it. Like, this is what they want to hide. This is what they want to keep from you.
There's going to be comedy gold
give,
like this.
He's going to give Justin Trudeau's wife a hickey. Now you're mine.
Yeah. You're married to that Indian fella. I mean, like, there was another article. I mean, I don't have it at my fingertips, but it was another article about how immigration activists were complaining because there was this, like a recent statement with a transition team where they listed, like, our four top priorities, and immigration wasn't on them. Which is like kind of a stupid metric to begin with, because it's not like, you know, any incoming, it's like any White House, like, oh, we can only do four things and let's rank them in terms of our priority. And the four things were like the economy, COVID relief, like racial justice and global warming, which is sort of like, OK, well, then if you want to slot immigration in there, like, you know, which one do you take out? But like, I mean, it's a pointless way of thinking.
Well,
about
also,
it. But what was What was important about the article, though, is that like the Biden administration made clear in quotes that the reason that they were doing this is that they felt that immigration activists were getting too fucking, you know, fresh with them.
It was a snub.
They cannot set any precedent of being responsive to pressure.
Yeah.
And the thing is that they're not responsive to pressure, but it's easier for them if everyone is aware of that, if everyone internalizes that so that they don't have to deal with it.
And you know what?
It's just a PR problem that it's a headache that they don't want to have to deal with.
And, you know, I don't respect it in any like moral sense, but I respect it in a political one because like, A, they're 100% right that these people have no leverage over them whatsoever. They owe them no favors. I mean, these people gave away the store up front.
Yep.
And he's just being honest up front by just saying, stop bitching.
Yeah.
Like, don't even ask. Don't even bitch.
I said the thing you wanted me to say. That's what you get.
Yeah.
I will
never figure out that you got to get the money up front.
Yeah.
Well, there you go with Biden. I'd like to move on now to perhaps my favorite pseudo controversy of the last week.
Oh, wait, actually, can I pee real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's pause.
Me too.
Because I got to pee on empty for this.
Like sugar gliders.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are great. Those are awesome.
I love them.
You throw them and they love it.
Yeah. Hey,
did you see the Briscott video with the sugar glider?
Yes, I love that.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. That guy was zooming.
Yeah, he was zooming real good. Okay, so are we all ready to go back in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on from Joe Biden to his wife, I would now like to address my favorite idiotic pseudo controversy of the past week involving, as we've loved to affectionately refer to her as, and affectionately and appropriately refer to as, Dr. Jill Biden. Dr. Jill Biden. Is there a doctor in the White House?
Yeah.
Yes, Mac. And her name is Dr. Jill Biden.
Jill Biden, medicine woman. She's amazing.
This is a controversy that, again, like everything about it is just like is the laziest fucking recital of like a pro forma fucking recitation of one of these idiotic controversies that was kicked off when the Wall Street Journal opinion page, you know, you're in for some good stuff whenever you hear that phrase, published an op-ed by a guy named Joseph Epstein. Any relation?
No, really.
I'm not sure. Okay. Is there a doctor in the White House? Not if you need an MD. Jill Biden should think about dropping the honorific, which feels fraudulent, even comic. So he's basically making at Dr. Jill on behalf of the Wall Street Journal, and like I said, this astonishingly lazy act of provocation, just basically making the point like, stop demanding people call you doctor when you are not a fucking surgeon.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
You say that, Will.
I agree with.
It's a lazy provocation, but it worked.
Yeah,
it's true. Exactly.
And just get a rise out of these people. It's nothing. It's nothing. This minor thing. They all lose their fucking shit. I don't even know if Dr. Jill Medicine Woman like actually introduces herself as doctor. Generally,
apparently she is a stickler for being called doctor.
That's
although
hilarious.
If anyone has memory beyond the last 3 months, the doctor got hit real hard around the same time that the Democrats and Biden were trying to tell everybody at the beginning of COVID that it's okay to vote in person during the primaries.
Mm.
Dr. Joe Biden says that.
There was a
pretty concerted effort to make people think that she had some sort of health care knowledge.
No.
But like
she has her doctorate in kindergarten thing in
an academic sense. Like if you have a doctorate of whatever, it's literally, if you are a professor, only in like formal emails from support, like there's no context in which someone with like a liberal arts or whatever PhD asks to be called a doctor unless they are an utter freak. And my theory was that actually this was just Joe's pet name for her. Because he's like, you got a PhD. Hey, Dr. Jill Biden, making me some eggs today. Like, doesn't that sound like a thing that he would do, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's kind of cute.
He calls her Dr. Joe Biden.
Yeah.
That's a big part of the story. He's always, you know, again, if you've watched any Biden rallies, he's always saying, my wife, Dr. Joe Biden. So, you know, the guy in the article got that wrong, too. But no, like there is, this is the equivalent to when like liberals during the Trump administration would post like, hey, everybody, let's get Donald Trump sodas trending today because he like dropped a soda on the ambassador's lap or something, like so one of the mindless controversies. And I would always be like, this is so fucking lame. Who would ever like be threatened by this? And then you would like go to a QAnon person's page and it would be like, we have to kill these dangerous pedophiles before they kill us. Look at what they're doing. And like, and this, like, this is the equivalent because it's like, this is so lazy. Like, this is like just like a very base, lazy attempt to offend like the biggest part of the Democratic hyper media consumer base, which is like upper middle class, older people with useless fucking PhDs who demand you call them doctor. Yeah. And it's like when I saw it, I was like, oh, who's going to get offended by that? And everyone, of course, like everyone on Twitter is like, I listen, you fucking asshole. I have a PhD in John Green novels. How fucking dare you? I paid $380,000 to have a degree in human sexuality. Who, you fucking cocksucker.
Can we get a clip here of the critic saying, I have a PhD in film?
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and this is Little Nuthead.
This is so demeaning. I have a PhD in film.
Oh, I mean,
fuck you.
But hey, like you said, they spent $300,000. And they made like 10 grand a year for a decade in order to have this thing. It's really, it is the symbol of any social capital they've accrued through their life choices. They sure as hell want to hold on to that because what the hell else do they have to show for it?
I mean, yeah,
like, but it's like that just means you're not confident in the work you do. Like my sister has a PhD and she was like, yeah, this shit's fucking stupid. Like she's, my sister has a PhD, not one of those things that's like, oh, I got a PhD in fucking Riverdale. She got a PhD in actual thing, in actual liberal arts.
Hold on a second. I have a PhD in Riverdale, Felix.
I'm sorry.
On, that's, with
I'm
an emphasis on dark Jughead studies.
Yeah. And she never makes anyone call her doctor. It's like,
because it's such a, no, you do call Lucy Dr. Biederman at every holiday. Yeah, I mean, I do think like it betrayed like what freaks they are, and you know, all they have is like their title because these PMC freaks love credentials. And two, like it's the most pathetic thing because it's like younger people getting mad about it, like someone who got a PhD who's in incredible debt. And I mean, the older people, like whatever, they're the people who actually, you know, came of age at a time when you could be an idle intellectual and write a few monographs every few years and teach two classes and, you know, like have a summer home. Like, you know, of course they're like, oh no, people are going to figure out that this whole thing is a grift. But it's the younger people. It's these like, it's these academic cucks that are like millennials that are like, you know, teaching like 12 fucking, they're adjuncting 12 different classes and making like $12,000 a year. Them getting mad about it. It's like, this is the most pathetic thing in the world. Because the only thing that you can at this point dream of is having like a title that you know is not going to pay. You have to know on some level it's not going to pay. It's like, it's neurotic that they think of themselves as being in the same category with a generation of academics that actually had a decent standard of living.
Well, it's the sunk cost. Like they're in. They're pot committed. You might as well get something out of knowing that you're a doctor and that means something, because you're not getting anything else out of it. You know, like it's like if you reject that, cool. You still owe $300,000 in student loans. You can't just have them invalidate that because you don't care about being called a doctor anymore.
Yeah.
So you might as well be a prick about it.
It's all they have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was amazing. It was just like, what Felix brought up about the, about what it reminded him of, what it reminded me of was Amal Clooney and the, call her, she's a famous civil rights lawyer. It's like, first of all, or a human rights lawyer. It's like, first of all, there's no such thing as a famous, like, you can't name another human rights
the
lawyer.
The world's most other most famous human rights lawyer is not 1/1000th as famous as George Clooney is.
They're
calm
not
down.
Celebrities. He's George Clooney. Like, it was insane.
I would like to read
Batman, for God's sake.
I would like to read the first paragraph of this, though, because it just goes to my point about just lazily chumming the waters. And the guy writing it is himself a totally embittered, failed academic as well, which is funny. But it just says here, Madam First Lady, Mrs. Biden, Jill, kiddo, a bit of advice on what may seem like a small, but I think not an unimportant matter. Any chance you might drop the doctor before your name? Dr. Jill Biden sounds and feels fraudulent, not to say a touch comic. Your degree is, I believe, an EDD, a doctorate of education earned at the University of Delaware through a dissertation with the unpromising title Student Retention at the Community College Level, Meeting Students' Needs. A wise man once said that no one should call himself doctor unless he has delivered a child. Think about it, Dr. Jill, and forthwith, drop the doc. And then he goes, I taught at Northwestern University for 30 years without a doctorate or any advanced degree.
Got to drop his own resume from the University of Chicago.
Yeah. He's got to drop his own.
Oh, of course, this is the U Chicago guy.
Yeah.
Of course. Oh, my God. This guy probably, I know exactly how this guy's academic career went.
And it's just like.
He got censured by his department for, like, calling a red-haired student red. And winking at her.
But no, I mean,
he tried to get Richard Pearl to come to his Hanukkah party. I know exactly what this guy's deal is.
And of course, though, because everybody swallowed the hook on this fucking, just inhaled it straight down their gullet. And, like, Hillary Clinton tweeted about this and said, she literally tweeted, she is Dr. Jill Biden, and don't you dare, say otherwise. Making it all fodder for this, this misogyny or whatever, which I'm sure this guy is. But it's just like, how easy would it be to just be like, ignore it entirely?
Yeah, you don't have to say anything about
it. And, like, in fact, don't you get that these people's entire fucking, like, business model and, like, even intellectual project is based on getting you to fucking, like, get mad at them? It's like, yeah, and Paul Gigolo or Paul Gigo or Paul Gio, the guy who's the head of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, has already published another editorial loudly proclaiming that, they will not censor themselves, to meet the demands of the incoming administration or academia or whatever, where it's just like, yeah, like, their guy lost the presidential election. But they're smart enough to realize that all their juice in the next 4 years or so and their political success it depends on squeezing this particular fucking lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do it without a dance partner. You know what I'm saying? And like, these guys, they just, they fall for it every fucking time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, they don't have anything else they'd want to talk about either. I mean, like, it helps them because, hey, we're talking about this. We're not talking about the fact that, this is that what is coming into view will be an administration that in no way will be defensible on any axis. If you're even making even vague gestures towards supporting progressivism, even mere progressivism. So why not talk about Dr. Jill Biden and her fucking PhD for the next 4 years?
I saw the greatest. This caused me to see the greatest post of all time yesterday. It was someone saying that there should be an A Million Woman with PhD march on.
Didn't we already have the fucking pussy hat march? Like, wasn't that
the PhD?
Their ranks were highly overrepresented there.
The PhD march is like the best shitty idea I've ever read. I don't want to make it sound like I'm over. Like, this is just like some random person I found. They're not like anybody. Like, they're not like a famous journalist or anything. But it's like, it was so funny that it's like, yeah, they would look really bad if you did that.
You'd sure show them.
You would own them. That would probably be the least popular march in American history.
Oh, my God.
Right? Like, that would.
Yeah, it would really take the heat off of Antifa.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But no, yeah, that's the thing, is the people who freak out about this, it's like, I think some of them, they're not all of them are totally stupid. Like, a lot of them know that they're just keeping this awful, awful Ouroboros going. Like, they react to the thing that the Epic Republican said. The Epic Republican says more things. They go, you, sir, have little dick energy, to 100,000 retweets. And it keeps going forever, but they will never stop because, A, that's all there is. That's the only thing America can make are these news cycles. B, it's the only thing that makes them feel good, just reaction to their reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And C, at a certain point, your job can depend on this. Your job is to be like a liberal reactor. It's the same thing as being those YouTubers who are like, you know, Minecraft player reacts to home birth. It's the same shitty culture of recyclables everywhere.
Yeah, they're just plugging things in.
Yeah. The real smart move, the kingly move, the galaxy-made move is to comment on the libs and conservatives arguing like us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. That's the kingly move.
Yeah, that's what you call the Statler and Waldorf model. And frankly, it's way more fun for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not premised on a lie that this is going to do anything.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Well,
we know we're just talking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the fourth option, the most elevated option, it is to sit around, wait, roll yourself a nice cone, and wait to see what Matt and Trey say about it.
Well, I mean, as long as we're going in this direction, I wanted to bring it up, like, because I would like somebody to explain to me what the latest beef is, that drama report on Jimmy Dore versus AOC, because it seems like just a giant who care to me, but like it's best I can understand it. It has to do with people that are mad that AOC is not using the vote for Pelosi. His leadership position to force another vote on Medicare for All, which will surely be defeated, but activists or, you know, people think will be, you know, just force the vote or something. I mean, is this a thing? Is there anything here?
Because it seems to be what I haven't kept up with this business.
I actually do see Dora's point on this. I do. I'm sympathetic to it. And it is like there is a huge friction there where you're like, all right, we're starting a new type of politics where this is an electoral revolution. Oh, yeah, I'm reelecting Nancy Pelosi as speaker.
Yeah.
Like, I do kind of agree with that. But at the end of the day, I do think this is going to be one of those things that in 3 weeks, unfortunately, no one's really going to remember. And I also don't really think a vote for Medicare.
Yeah,
for
that's
all,
where I get
a failed
up.
Vote for Medicare. Like, I do think maybe it's instructive for some people to see like what Democrats vote against healthcare for all. But the thing is, they're always going to have obfuscation. It'll always get buried in the liberal and conservative media because they don't want to talk about it. I think
people already know.
Most people for Medicare for all know it's a problem of getting. And it's a problem of getting people who are in favor of Medicare for all but vote for normal Democrats to withhold that vote.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
the whole
this
problem.
This is the idea that I had about thinking about this, because it's like, I know, Felix, like to your point, like I do understand like that, the first part of it. Like, well, you know, like you must be aware on some point that Nancy Pelosi is your enemy. And if you're not, then like you are a fraud and a charlatan.
Yeah.
And the thing is like that on its own, not voting for her or whipping votes against her leadership should be like a good enough fucking reason to do something. But it's when you add, it's just this idea of adding on this forcing a vote on Medicare for all, it becomes this very stupid, and my brain always turns out, it becomes this question of like strategy and things like that. And I don't really see the point here, because the vote's going to fail, and then like the way that people talk
I
about
don't
it, like,
expect
yeah, we need
people
to get people
to waste
on
time
record
on symbolic stands. Like, I understand it, but there have already been votes on different Medicare bills. We know where people stand. Doing it again, going through this ritual over and over again, it's like, well, let's see who supported. Well, Kamala fucking like supported. Like it's,
yeah.
It doesn't really mean
anything.
No,
Amber,
anything.
Like that's
and it's
that's
a
my
waste
bigger
of
point
time.
Here is we don't need a vote on this because we already know where the Democratic
we
Party
need power.
Stands on Medicare for All because Joe Biden is fucking president now. And like this idea, like, you know, sure, according to polls, Medicare for All is popular at a rate of about 88% if you're going just on Democratic voters. But guess what? The primary and the election itself is another kind of a poll. And like, it would seem to be clear what Democratic voters actually think about or care about as far as Medicare for All and like the people who support and don't support it. I mean, like, do we really need another, like a roll call, another demonstration of who does and doesn't support it?
I think the way to make sense of this is it's not really about anything that happens in in the halls of Congress, because we don't have a say in any of this. There's no strategy. Like, if you decide that AOC should do a Medicare for all vote in exchange for voting for Pelosi, and if she doesn't, it means that she's on the wrong side, that she is on the side of the Democrats. That doesn't change anything about your life. It doesn't, you can't, and you cannot make her do it. Like, there is no public to rally. There is no pressure to apply. Like, the incentive structures of individual actors within government are independent of any like left, because there isn't a left. There's just a bunch of essentially media consumers and social media participants. And then, you know, you've got orgs, but they're all separate and they don't have any kind of umbrella organization to coordinate their activities either. What this really is a part of the meta war that's going to now that's already fighting in the progressive media sphere to determine essentially your demographic pitch in the coming Biden term. Like, who are you going to be speaking towards as a left media voice? Who are you going to be pitching yourself to in the new world of a Biden presidency, and which is going to be in many ways different than trying to do left media under Trump. And so throwing down the gauntlet about like AOC now, she has a litmus test, and if she fails it, she must be condemned. That is putting a chit out there. And then that's a message to the audience where you stand relative to AOC and the Democratic Party. And if you say no, that's short-sighted and you shouldn't be dismissing AOC like that, or it's more complicated, you're setting out a pitch to a different group of people. And this question is just a way for the sides to sort out in what is essentially a media nexus that operates the same way that sports media does. Like, you call into Mike and the Mad Dog and you talk about how what the Giants should draft. That's the same conversation as saying whether AOC should demand a vote for Medicare for All. You have as little connection to their decision as you do to the front office of the Giants. But you can talk about it, and specifically you talk about it and you listen to people who have a point of view on those questions that you find amenable. And this is all about the greater question of, like, who are you going to be talking to? And what like segment of the left media audience is going to be where you reside in the coming 4 years?
Yeah, and I think that the sports metaphor especially holds up, because you think about someone just like, whatever, armchair quarterbacking, and they're like, what they should do is run the ball. And it's like,
yeah,
look, I understand what you're saying. It's not complicated what they should do. And they keep trying to say, oh, it's complicated. No, it's not complicated. It is, however, hard.
Yeah.
It is difficult. It's not a sticky wicket that you have to like navigate and figure out. It's like, no, it's just literally like lacking the brute force and power to be able to do it. And I think I think people's response to say, look, it's very simple. Yes, it is simple. It's also very difficult. It's very simple to lift 300 pounds. It's also very difficult.
The simple thing is finding a emotional like narrative whereby your powerlessness can be turned into like a sucker. Mm-hmm. Where, because, you know, if you're consuming left media, it's in the premise, it's on the context of being hyper aware of your powerlessness within the system and your powerlessness over elected officials. And how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to synthesize that into your like understanding of the world? And that comes with the way the emotional attitude that you have towards people in power. And then you seek media that will reflect and validate that emotional response. And then that stands in for action you can't take in the real world of politics.
God. Holy shit.
I told you.
Sorry.
That's Kitty.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Squirrel? Okay. What? Holy mackerel.
Amber Squirrel just showed up on the Zoom call.
Wow.
She's great. Sorry. Politics, they're very important.
Matt was making a very intelligent point.
I know. I know.
We all got distracted by a squirrel.
Squirrels
are better than anything I'm ever going to say in my life.
No.
Now, 90% of the reason people tune into my backyard stream is to watch the squirrels run behind me.
They're charming.
Yeah, they're rat dogs.
Yeah. No, but okay. but I was listening. And yeah, I think a lot about this is literally psychological. It's literally people trying to find a way to rationalize their powerlessness and holding people to, let's say, like pretty like meaningless, arbitrary standards of symbolic action is a do this to prove you still care about me. And it's like, I get that, but it won't do anything.
I mean, outside the realm of symbolic action, though, I think it's probably not too much to ask that, like, you know, the people who are supposed to represent us in Congress, like, maybe make a bigger fucking,
but they can't
a fucking, like,
we can't make them. Yeah. We have no, we, and that's saying, oh my God.
Or just like,
I'm not saying that we never will be able to. I'm not being like, just let them do whatever they want. There's no hope. But like, as at the current moment, fixating on like anybody in power as though you have a relationship to them that is in any way equitable, that you are part of any public that can meaningfully press them and change the calculus of their decision is wrong. That will change if we're going to have a future for this country and this planet. That will change. But like the challenge is figuring out how to change that, not how to like divine who are the good and the bad guys in politics, because at the end of the day, no matter what's in their heart, they're bad guys because they're part of a system whose incentives only run towards evil.
Yeah, they're bad guys because we have no leverage.
Yes.
Like if we're going to like... people need to stop thinking of politicians as good or bad people and start thinking of them as tools.
Absolutely. And because the powerlessness makes us vulnerable to their whim. It's like, it really does. And it is. It is up to their whim. But the cumulative effect of like the political affect or personalities or virtues of individual politicians is never going to accrue to stand up to the demands of capital.
I would add to like whim, even more so than whim, it's every other person that does have leverage on them. And I always hated the whole, like, I remember seeing Van Jones stump at a draft Warren event back in like 2015. And he's like, imagine how, he was talking about campaign finance reform, and which is such a cute thing to think about. It's like the left wing version of being into tort reform. He was saying, imagine, you know, when all of our Democratic politicians are freed from the restrictions placed on them by big, you know, by Wall Street and, you know, big finance. And it's like, okay, look, I'm the first to admit that free political will basically doesn't exist in America. However, you could set them free and they would run right back into the cage.
Yep.
Most of them. And it is worse. I do think one of the reasons people like gravitated towards Bernie Sanders is because they got that he actually is an honest man. But that's just as irrelevant as someone who is a bastard now at this point, because he's not running anymore.
Like, Bernie was worth supporting because Bernie was supporting because his virtue plus a movement could have done something. But virtue minus a movement in an individual politician, certainly south of being president, and certainly any members of Congress, we are at the mercy of the system until we change the matrix, until we change their decision matrix, and until they have to factor us into their decisions. And right now they don't have to. And that challenge, our challenge is to change that. Mm-hmm. And we can get mad at them along the way, and we should.
Right.
And we should certainly find enemies and you know how to fight against them. But our emotional relationship to politicians is completely beside the point.
We need to be a little more cold-blooded, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just be like, this person is on our side but can't do anything for us. This person will never be on our side, but if we have enough power, they're going to work for us anyway.
That's but the challenge there is that if you take the emotions out of it, then it's just a hard, challenging job.
Yeah.
And people would rather it be a psychodrama that they can participate in, because that stands in for their sense of, God damn it, I can't stop looking at this little squirrel buddy.
I know, she's
look
so
at this
great.
Little guy. It stands in for like a clear-eyed understanding of the situation. Like it's it's the baby laxative we cut the cocaine with is that emotional connection to these narratives that, you know, are never going to go away, but that it's our challenge to just on a daily basis try to discharge away from our like sense of self, or else they'll overtake us and we will lose our connection to the moment, and we'll start running down blind hallways into dead ends.
Mm-hmm. I would just think, like, I just think on a basic level, though, like, and anyone who's trying to rep the progressive or even socialist brand in politics should obviously not support Nancy Pelosi, not just not support Nancy Pelosi, but like actively be insulting her publicly and working to, I don't know, destroy her politically. To the second point, though, just like to reiterate the thing, I don't see any point in a symbolic vote on Medicare for All, because as you stated earlier, Amber, all the Democrats who ran for president in 2020, like almost all of them pretended to support Medicare for All. And we all know that that was full of shit. And guess what? The only one who didn't pretend to support it won.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's been tallied up. Like we know already. And also these symbolic votes that we know we're going to lose, like it's fucking demoralizing. Like this is what we're working for. Like,
yeah,
we need to get everyone on record about how bad they all are. The actual thing that we're working for is as far away as it's ever been, if not more so.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't want to, I guess show trial is not the right word. Most people don't want to, you know, a grand reveal. They want politics to happen. They want, you know, politics for most people is a means to an end, not, you know, an identity or finding out which side you're going to be on. That's like a media thing. That's like a weird cultural thing. Like, and I think the good news is, I mean, not to be too much of a downer, but like normal people broadly do support Medicare for All. So that's the most important thing. Like, we are there to that. We're to that point. We just don't have any power at all. And that's the bigger, longer
that's the real
build.
Question. Yeah.
But we're over that first fucking hump, which is like, I remember during Obamacare, like the way they scared people was insane. Like normal people. I mean, obviously there were like the Tea Party zealots, but people were like, I don't know, maybe this isn't a good idea. Like maybe because there were multiple levels of propaganda against it. And some of it was aimed at people who, you know, were like, well, I'd like better health care for people. And I, you know, I don't know, Medicare for All sounds good. Oh, wait, this is going to be the problem? Oh, yeah, no, that seems... Oh, wait, it's going to have these political repercussions? And, you know, I think we're past that point, and that's good. It's just that, like, now we have to work on building, you know, the we that can actually, like, yield some amount of power. But, like, we're on the same page. We have a huge constituency of people that support Medicare for All. It's just now we need to get big and strong.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it for today. Wrap it up for this week. I don't have any closing thoughts, nothing to plug. I'd just like to happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas. It's that season, and start getting your presents now, because you know, I mean, there's not much time left, and we all need a present. And you know, honestly, the gift blesses the giver. Honestly, that's the reason for the season. It's about giving gifts.
Yeah. If you are Jewish, don't let the Hanukkah marmoset bite you. You're not getting enough gifts. We all know about our favorite Hanukkah fable, the Hanukkah marmoset. The Hanukkah marmoset is a cute little guy, but he's got sharp teeth. And for people who purposely don't buy enough gifts for people because they forgot or, like, you know, whatever, they get bitten by the marmoset in their sleep. And it gives them chronic Lyme and Epstein Barr for an entire year. So you don't want that to happen. Be generous. This is the time to be generous. Yeah. If you don't have money, make a really bad painting. Yeah. If you don't know how to paint, sing a song. If you can't sing, like you don't have a voice or a throat or something, cook a nice meal. Yeah. Figure it out.
As the Talmud says, stay away from that marmoset.
Yeah, you don't want that marmoset biting you. You don't want a year of chronic Lyme.
Oh, and also, though, if you don't know what to get and you end up getting a friend, a family member, a lover, a gift card, you're telling them that I've given up and don't care.
Yep.
If you are my family member listening to this, that's not true. It's not true at all.
That actually shows that you love them even more because you respect their freedom of choice in the marketplace.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know your taste is better than mine ever could be. Yeah. But I also got you other things.
There you go.
And you shall soon see them.
No marmoset for you.
Avoid the Hanukkah marmoset, but embrace the Christmas pig, which is
the Christmas
weird.
Pig.
The Christmas pig is wonderful.
It's a Swedish thing.
Yeah. It's a Swedish thing.
Embrace the ecumenical winter seasonal holiday squirrel.
Yes.
My little peanut.
Yes.
Oh, look at the peanut. Look at
the my God. I took several screenshots. Can we make this the episode art, Amber? Because, I mean, it's not. People need to see to do justice to, like, to what we were, like, getting distracted by. Because,
she's so cute.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Till next time, gang. Bye-bye.
Bye.